time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come, the Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and here we are again. It's 11:16 and almost 11:16 and 30 seconds. And how are you doing today? Have you been outside? Isn't it nice out there now? Now, we could get, some activity from nature yet today, probably will. But I was thinking, we're located more or less on the tornado belt. It comes right up through Ohio on a southwest to northeast track. And that's the usual one. Now, we also have had tornadoes or tornado warnings at least come out of the northwest, but they never amount to anything. It's the ones that come out of the southwest, and depending on, some variation. Now, like the other day, the one that hit the eastern part of Shelby, Ohio. Now, I was in Shelby the other day. I saw one business on the Lexington Spring Mill Road that was more or less demolished, but that was the only place. However, they tell me, east of there, there was so much damage to homes and farms and whatever. But, and I thought at one time, too, there was a tremendous amount of damage among the car dealerships, but I only saw one area the other day when I was over there. Well, anyhow, so here's the other thing. We have all these tornado warning sirens or loudspeakers, you might say. But do they ever convince anyone to take cover? Most of us are so used to never encountering a disastrous bit of weather that we tend to disregard those big announcements as the siren goes off and, they make the announcement, tornado warning. And I've seen people mowing their yards and, just kept on going. And I was in Marion once, and the siren or the loudspeaker systems were going off, and right below one of them, I saw a guy working in his yard, totally oblivious. So you wonder, how effective are the tornado warning systems? And thank goodness we have them. But now you notice on our radio station here, and it's a legality, we must have the early warning system in operation on our radio station, and we do. You might have heard a test come through earlier this morning, and about once a week or so, they do run a test of the emergency broadcasting system. And we must have a system installed here that for our transmitter to broadcast these warnings. And so we do have that. Every station does. Now, interesting, back in the earlier times, the early warning system came out as a product of the tension between Russia and the United States. And that would make a good question. What was the original? It was 640 and 1240 on your AM dial where broadcasts would originate, but I don't know if there is anything that tripped a warning on your radio as you listen to it. And so how would you ever be tuned to 640 or 1240? This is back in the earlier times, to get a warning. And, of course, it's progressed since that time to where it's automatic now. But what was the name of that early system? What was it called? Where you had 640 and 1240 and radio stations had to monitor that. In fact, our monitoring station, the station we had to listen to, was WLW in Cincinnati. And so we had a receiver set up in the control room, and way in the background, since we did not, at that time, broadcast from the engineering studio, only from studios off to the side, but we had WLW. You could hear it in the background in our control room, and that was mandatory. If we were on the air 24 hours a day, you had to have WLW on the radio. And if they went into a warning system, then you had to do the same thing. That's all been changed now. Of course, it's automatic. But has that all helped? Do people really pay any attention to the warning sirens? Well, they do if they don't come on. They'll complain afterwards, yeah, our siren never even came on. But chances are, even if it did come on, you didn't alter whatever you were doing. You probably thought, it's never going to happen here. Now, it's interesting, too. I hear it brought up about the Xavier tornado system, or tornadoes in Zanesville that killed so many people. And then the Palm Sunday tornadoes that came through. That was 1965. And they ripped up and tore barns down in south of us. And that was another big outpouring of tornadoes. But then the one closest to us, perhaps, was Cardington in 1981. And I'm sure none of you listening were in Cardington. I was, right after I was called to cover that on radio in 1981. And when I got to Cardington with our news photographer, we went through the Methodist Church, and there were cots up already caring for the people that had been injured. And I went to, we went to a little trailer park that was over on the east side of Cardington, and I think four people were killed in that trailer park. And then I went in a house and talked, because a lady was standing at the window. I went up, interviewed her, and she said, well, this is where I stood when the tornado came through. And I said, well, I see your house is still intact. But across the street was the fire department, flattened. Flattened as a pancake. And she saw it happen. And apparently it froze in her window and saw this happening. So, you sometimes wonder. But Cardington was, so hard hit, all tore up. And the government helped rebuild the buildings in downtown Cardington. It built them much larger than they originally were. And that was 1981. And we never know from one year to the next when another tornado could come through our area here. So you have to be aware and try to abide by the warnings, even though you think, well, it's not going to happen here. It's human nature, isn't it? 11:24 is the time. Okay, let's go back to Cedar Point for a while. And don't forget, we'll be awarding two tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tomorrow afternoon. Oh, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Did you mention about the tornado that hit the Huber company?
Oh, no, that was, that was in Marion. Yeah, it tore up some of the Huber.
That's right. I can't even remember when it was, but I think it was after the Cardington tornado.
Yes, it was after, yeah.
Yeah, but that, that was kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, it sure was, yeah.
Close to me. So, anyway... Yep, you never know where or when one will happen.
Well, that's right.
And they had a strange one back in 97 or 98, a tornado in the San Francisco Bay.
Really?
Yep, it made national news. So, yep, you got to keep your eyes to the sky.
That's for sure.
On the windy side.
That's it, yeah. Very good, okay.
Okay.
Thank you, all
carry
right.
On.
Yeah, you just never know, because like I say, we reside in what they call the tornado belt, and it starts in the Illinois area and sweeps up through Ohio on a diagonal, starting like at Cincinnati and going toward the northern, northeastern part of Ohio. But there's variation in that path, of course, and you don't want to be in that path. So pay attention. If you hear a tornado warning siren go off, my goodness, please observe, the safety precautions. Okay, now, and boy, let me tell you another. When I was in Cardington in 1981, in the trailer park, there were a number of trailers that were blown over, and I stood where one had been. And there was nothing but a slab of concrete. But by that slab of concrete was a little baby doll and an open Bible. And a man came up crying and said, "Where's my family? This is where we lived." He apparently had been at work or somewhere. And they were probably, I don't know if that was part of the people or one of the people that could have been killed, but four of them, I think, died in that trailer park area. But the poor man was crying. Boy, what an emotional thing. Here, he didn't know where his family was, if they were alive or dead. He's staring at a cement slab and an open Bible and a doll. The doll, of course, belonged to one of his children. And I often think back, I wish I would have leaned down and looked at the chapter that was open in that Bible. I didn't, though. I just looked down and could see an open Bible and that doll. I'll never forget that. Wow. What a day that was. And, of course, it wasn't long after, or not very long after I got there. Nobody could come into town because the National Guard was called in and kept everybody away. We got there long before that and got interviews and pictures. In fact, Mike Groen, one of our news photographer at NewsLife, took a famous picture that it's probably in the archive somewhere, of the chief of police of Cardington with his white cap on, talking to somebody beside a demolished building. And also, we had a scanner running. And when that tornado hit, the chief of police came on and said, "We've been hit by a tornado, and we need help." Boy, that was the first that I had heard that a tornado had hit. But the sky turned dark, very dark, almost black. I had a windsock in our backyard, an aviation windsock, and it was blowing straight out. And then all of a sudden, it turned almost like midnight, and the windsock tail dropped down, and it was then that the tornado had hit Cardington. Okay, let's get back to a more happy subject here, like Cedar Point. and, of course, for us old-timers, it's hard to afford to go to Cedar Point on Social Security. Oh, my. Maybe if I sell enough cucumbers along the road when they ripen, I'll get enough money to spend a day at Cedar Point. Okay. What year was Cedar Point founded? What year was Cedar Point founded? Now, we got about 30 seconds here before I break. And if you can call within those 30 seconds, otherwise wait until after our 11:30 break. All right? What year was Cedar Point founded? And boy, it was a long time ago. I believe it was over 100 years ago. And it's amazing that it stayed where it is and didn't just fold up and become a
house development. You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, 740-383-9944, our number to call, and the time is 11:31. And the date, this is the 9th of May, all day, yes, and it's a day when later on we'll have showers and maybe a thunderstorm or so, be aware. Here we go. Good morning, caller.
Cedar Point was founded in 1870.
Hey, let me see. Yeah, 1870. You're right.
Yeah.
Boy, that was before I was born.
Me too, believe it or not. Yeah. A little before.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Is this Sharon?
That was Judy.
Oh, Judy. Okay. All right, Judy, thanks.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye. Okay. And don't forget tomorrow at 12. What time is it we're going to draw for that tomorrow? At 2:15. Yes, tomorrow, live on the air, live and lively on the air, we'll be drawing for those two tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And even if you're not into rock and roll, it's an interesting place, believe me. And it'd be fun to go up there in downtown Cleveland. It's right on the shoreline, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay. Well, I've got, let me see, what else can I ask you that you don't know? Oh, my. 11:33. Okay, I'll try one more. If you were to go on the Top Thrill ride, how fast would you end up going? On the Top Thrill ride, how fast would you be going at the greatest speed? Okay, 11:33 is the time. Yeah, the Top Thrill. Have you ever been on it? I've never been on any of the rides at Cedar Point, except the one time I rode, what was it, the horses or something? I know I've rode the cars, you know, putt-putt cars. But my favorite thing used to be watching them make a glassware at, you know, and pull that molten glass out of the oven there. Oh, that was so much, and it used to be chilly, but oh, every now and then you get a blast of that warmer air. But just watching those talented craftspeople make glass items, boy, that was for me. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Well, Charlie, I was listening to you yesterday, and you were talking about Manel Milling.
Yes.
Being headquartered in Martell. Manel Milling is actually headquartered in Fostoria.
I know. They've got installations all over. It's still family owned. That was my mistake saying they were headquartered there, because that's,
well,
just...
I hate to correct you because you're such a knowledgeable guy.
Yeah.
But I came from Fostoria and I watched that company get bigger and bigger and bigger.
And I had a relative that had a restaurant just down the road from Manel Milling in Fostoria.
Oh, yeah?
A place called Kemosabe's.
Called what?
Kemosabe.
Oh, Kemosabe.
Yeah, remember Tonto?
I've never been there. I think that started since I left.
Yeah, it was owned by David Heiser, one of my relatives.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he sold it now.
I knew some Heisers. And, gosh, I can't remember the first name now. He's an appraiser and a real estate guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the so David was up there, and some I don't know how many Heisers were still located up there, but we go to their reunion every year around Paustoria. There was one Heiser in Marion, Lauren Heiser.
I know Lauren.
Yeah, okay. And there's a lawyer, too. A Heiser.
Yeah. That's his dad.
Yeah.
Their son.
Okay. Yeah, they're all relatives of mine.
Yeah, we used to have them in, you did, too, when you spoke at Primrose.
Yes.
And I had them in my Bible class there.
Okay.
They're in Batesville, Indiana now.
Batesville,
and every time I get to talk to him, I say, did you pick your coffin out yet?
That's right. I don't know why he moved to Batesville, Indiana.
That's where his daughter lives.
Oh, okay. A lot of us old-timers like to relocate where our kids, grandkids are, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I just kept picking on him, saying, you only moved there so you could pick out a coffin cheap. That's where they're made.
That's right. Yes. Right, I'm very familiar with that. Yeah.
Yep.
But
I just wanted to let you know, in case Judy's listening again and you ask that question again.
Yeah. Okay.
She can get it right.
Yeah. And the Minnell Milling is still a family-owned business.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And you can Google them and find out all about them on the internet.
And there's another factory in Foster called Ropey Rubber.
Oh, really?
And they just bought out the Autolite plant where they used to make all the
Autolite. Yes, yes.
And they're expanding theirs. But if you go in the hospital or wherever, you see this vinyl flooring that's in squares with circles.
Yes.
Within it, that's a Ropey design.
Okay, well, I'm glad to see somebody took over the Autolite place.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Bendix had it when I went to work for the trucking division, and then before Bendix bought it, it used to be Ford Motor Company, mm-hmm. and then it became Autolite, which was Ford's brand of spark plugs. Autolite, and then it became part of Fisher Scientific when Fisher Scientific and Siemens bought out Bendix, and then it became Honeywell, and it was Honeywell when it closed.
Yeah, well, Honeywell has made thermostats.
Yeah, they made a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't know why they wanted to get into the spark plug business.
I've used my share of Autolite spark plugs, and also the other very popular Champion spark plug.
Right. Yeah. My wife's nephew works for Champion down in Cambridge, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
He's I call him a big dog down there. I don't know what all he does, but... and I think the main plant's still in Toledo. I'm not sure. Maybe they closed it.
It's interesting. Cambridge, Ohio, their courthouse was remodeled by a company in Marion.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, Mid-States?
Yeah, Mid-States.
Oh, how about that? Have you ever gone down there at Christmas?
No.
Oh, man, they decorate that town. It makes it look like it's... the old people, and they got them up by the on ladders, like they're lighting the street lights,
like the old lamp lighter.
Then they have other people standing on the corner talking.
Wow.
And they're all statues, but the courthouse is all lit up, and the radio station in Cambridge plays Christmas carols, and you can see it online. When the next time they put it on, I'll see if I can get you the website for it if you don't want to drive all the way to Cambridge.
Yes, I've been there several times. I once worked with a lady in the Convention and Visitors Bureau there. So I'm pretty familiar with the Cambridge area, and then south of Cambridge, I used to go to Caldwell, Ohio, and
oh, yeah.
And I worked there for years at the Socom Festival.
At the what?
At the Socom Festival.
You know, I didn't know that existed.
Well, yeah, it's not anymore, but it was for years.
Yeah.
The sheriff came there and made moonshine right on the grounds.
Yep. Oh boy!
And only he could get away with
it.
In
the hills.
Yeah.
That's living. How much did you drink?
And not very much, because I did drink a quarter of a glass, and it did me in for a whole day.
Yeah. have a great weekend,
okay.
Charlie.
All right, we'll see you. Okay. All right, Dave Lippert. All right. It's now 11:41. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, the company in Mid-States in Marion redid all the architectural feature. Oh, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Okay, on your last question, I'm going to guess 120 miles. I'm not for sure what the question was anymore.
Oh, top thrill. Yeah, it goes 120 miles an hour. You're right.
Yeah.
Well. Now, is
this... This is Judy.
Okay. All right, Judy. Thanks.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye. Okay, now, I've only got two questions left, and I've got more than 15 minutes to fill. So what am I going to do? Do any of you have any good stories, like Reverend Lippert here? Anyone would like to come on? You know, that's way I really enjoyed radio the most, is when I could talk to people and get stories from people. You know, there are a million stories out there that would be interesting for people to hear. But most people live and die without telling anyone else, but not me. I think I've told just about everything. Well, no, I haven't. The interesting things I've told that I've done. Because I've been a curious person. I'm interested in everything. Whether it be... I can remember I've been a blacksmith, too. Did I tell you that? I have three blacksmith forges, and I've made quite a few things. And, you know, other than glass blowing, working with red-hot metal and shaping it is, oh, boy, it is so much fun. And then when you're all done, you look at what you've made and you really feel good about it. So I've got so many things around our house that I've made as a blacksmith. Wow. And I, oh, boy. 11:43 is the time. What about you? Anyone else out there that's had an interesting occupation, or you did anything interesting in your life? Yeah, all you got to do is give me a buzz. I would like to do more than just give away things. I'd like to talk to you. Okay. Let me see. Yes, I've got two questions left here. Now, the one of the things I always liked about Cedar Point was taking a ride on the trains. Now, I could do that all day. I just love steam engines. And yesterday I talked about number 4014, the big boy that they've got running on the rails and attracting people from all over. But, yeah, I like steam engines. When I was growing up as a kid, I used to park my bicycle across the road from steam engines or trains that were waiting for clearance to go south. And occasionally the engineer would wave, but one day an engineer told me, "Hey, come on up here." And so he explained how the engine worked and different things, and how he had an automatic thing. He could turn a valve and channel the coal into the boiler. He didn't have to shovel it in. And that impressed me, and it just goes to show what you can do for younger people. I had, at one time, the California Vanguards that played in the U.S. Open stayed in Bucyrus, and I remember one of the band members showed a little boy how to play a horn when they were practicing out in the field. And I thought that was so nice. We got to do more things like that. Impress kids in a good way.
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Well, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again, and I was just thinking, too, I think it was in one of the pictures that was in the paper the other day of me with a bunch of kids over at the what used to be Indian Mountain School. I had, and of course, I got around to a lot of the schools in Marion to demonstrate the way the pioneers made roof shingles by splitting wood and shaving it down on to an angle. And it happened to be something that kids really got a... you know, really interested in it. I had over 200 children at Indian Mountain School sit on my bench as I showed them how to use a draw knife and how you could, shave one of these shingles down. Over 200 kids. I wonder, they're all grown up by now or probably in high school. And then I can remember I went to years ago when the North Main Street Elementary School was still in operation. I went there and made shingles, and those kids would be grandparents by now. And then I've been to, I don't know how many other schools doing this. And I also been to Crestview Elementary over near Ashland, here, there, and everywhere. And kids, it's fun to impress kids with something like the old craft. I had one, like I was telling Reverend Lippert, I used to do the Socom Festival down in Caldwell, Ohio. And I had a young boy join me every time I went down, helping me split wood and doing this and that. And he only had one eye because he had put his eye out, accidentally. And he worked for year after year when I came down there. And he got so impressed that he got his own little shaving bench like I had, bought an antique one, and now he'd be a grandparent at least. Yeah, but it was so much fun enjoying the children and teaching them something that hopefully they'd remember a long time, or at least remember this old guy showing me how to do something. 11:49's the time. We better get back to business today. Okay, well, I only got two questions left here. And I suppose somebody's already looked this up. When was the Blue Streak Coast, or did I ask that already? When was the Blue Streak, I think I did. Well, that leaves me with one. Okay, tell me, how many rides are there at Cedar Point altogether this year, or whenever Google came about? How many rides are there at Cedar Point? 740-383-9944. And don't forget, this is our last chance to get people entered into the drawing, because it's going to be drawn tomorrow. What time did I say tomorrow? 2:15 tomorrow. The winner will be drawn. Okay. Oh, here's here's Brenda calling. Okay, Brenda, how many rides?
17.
17? No, there's a lot.
No?
More. No, there's a lot more than that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, a lot more than 17. 740-383-9944. It's 11:50 Eastern Standard Time. And it must be partly cloudy, at least out there, because I don't see a bright sunshine coming through. Well, let me see. Is this Sharon? Yes. Go ahead, caller.
Okay. Is there 72 rides?
72? No, you're just...
You're 72.
No, it okay. Less than that.
Oh, it's less?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I tell you, Google it. That's where I got all my questions about Cedar Point, from Google, and so did a lot of our listeners, too. But, okay, here we go. Okay, and what's your guess?
I'm going to guess 71.
No, you're about one off yet. Thanks. Tomorrow we draw for the Cedar Point tickets. Or not, no. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tickets. Oh, here's Brenda again. Yes, Brenda, how many?
71.
No, you're about one off. Okay. Oh, my. Yeah, at least the information I have indicates that there are 70 rides at Cedar Point. Okay. So, well, yes, caller, go ahead.
I think there's 70, Charlie.
Yes, there are 70, right.
Because I think they did away with a couple of them for some reason. I forget what the reason
was. Yeah, they're always rearranging them, yes, right.
No, one of them I think was, I don't know, somebody got hurt on it or something.
Oh.
And then I thought, when you said less than that, then I thought there must be another one they did away with.
Yes.
So
70 altogether, yeah.
Yeah, this is Judy, so.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye. All right. Okay, we've got a few minutes left in the program today. Anyone else have a story to tell about anything at all? Oh, my. Let's see what else is happening around. I'm trying to think, is there anything that I have? How about the new water tower at Tri Rivers? I haven't even noticed. Are they building it? I haven't paid any attention. I do look over in their pond at the Canada geese. Is there a water tower being built at Tri Rivers? Or supposed to be? Maybe there is, and I just never noticed it. You know, you can do this in life. You can pass a few things, and if you never pay any attention, okay. Here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Charlie, I wanted to call and ask you where you get your tomato plants.
Oh, I got them. Well, now here's the thing. I got them in Celeryville. And because the only reason I did that, because I used to ride my bicycle up there. And I got to know everybody in that area. So I have fun going to Celeryville.
What's that around? Because last year I went clear. I can't tell you where. Way out someplace. They look more like Amish, but the building looked like it was 2 or 3 football fields.
Oh. Yeah, this is a big one. It's south of Willard on Route 103.
Okay, I'll find it then.
Okay, all right.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, I know I should buy locally, but I enjoy, you know, getting out in areas that I am so familiar with after having bicycled many times through that area. But, yeah, it's a rather, and of course we have a lot of greenhouses around here too. My goodness. Okay, 11:54 is the time, and what's new with you? Anyone else have a story? And don't forget, too, a local man, John Probst, is the captain of the Good Times One, and if you go on that ship, don't forget to tell John that you know me. And the last time I went on Good Times One, I saw him. He was meeting and greeting people as they boarded. And he saw me. He's Evers. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun when you go places and see people you know. And I was in downtown Miami, Florida one time on Flagler Street. And my window was rolled down. And somebody said, "Hey, Evers." I couldn't believe I'm in downtown Miami, Florida. And somebody spotted me. From Marion, apparently. And, of course, you run into Marion people all over the place. But, you know, the interesting thing, too, when I was in Marion General Hospital, I talked to a nurse. And I said, where are you from? She said, well, I grew up in Willard. And I said, well, gosh, I know Willard quite well. I used to bicycle there quite a bit. And I said, I used to eat at Uncle Dudley's. She said, Uncle Dudley's? That's one of my relatives. So the other day when I was in Willard, I went past to make sure Uncle Dudley's was still there. Yes, it is. One of the features they have is a large perch sandwich. Yep, I bicycled there many times. Oh, boy. Well, anyhow, it's 11:56 right now, and we may get some rain. In fact, you're pretty well assured that we are going to get some rain today. Now, have you planted your flowers yet? Well, you're going to, in my case, yes, I planted mine, and I gave them an initial watering yesterday, and now I'm, and last night also, and now today they'll get their second watering. That is for sure. But, and my cucumber. How many of you grow cucumbers? Now, this I never have before. So I bought one cucumber plant. And will it produce more than one cucumber? I hope so. They're so expensive in the stores, you know. Yeah, 50 cents a piece or more. My goodness, for a lonely cucumber. But, so I hope that I'm able to produce maybe three or four cucumbers out of that one plant. And like I say, I take a cucumber and I use one of those potato peelers. Just go down and peel the outer covering off. Now, I won't have to worry so much about that if I use my own grown cucumbers because I don't use any pesticide. Now, you don't know the cucumbers you buy in the stores, you know, just exactly who handled them and if they were ever exposed to anything other than fresh air and fresh water. And so, I always peel the cucumbers so I get down to just the goodies and then slice them rather thin and mix them with, my first cucumber salad I ever had was in a little restaurant called in the city of Akron, in Akron, Pennsylvania. And it was really, really intriguing, but it's entirely different than what I make. Usually cucumber salad is made with some cream. But mine, you can take and slice the cucumbers very thin and put some, Italian dressing with them. I also add celery seed and a little bit of rice wine vinegar and a couple of other items. It makes them taste so good, and I'm sure they're good for you. I don't know exactly what ingredients there are for your health in cucumbers, but I'm sure there is enough. Now the thing is today with red beets, they're saying how good red beets are for your health. Now, do you agree? Now, my wife is a red beet lover. I mean, she has red beets in her salads all the time. Are red beets that full of nutrition? I don't know. But I've never grown a red beet. Maybe I should have bought, or maybe I should buy some red beet seeds and grow red beets, too. I tell you what I've got. I've got a thing you can put potatoes in and step on a pedal, and it slices a potato into little dicey strips, and you plant those. Okay, caller, we're just out of time. Thanks for calling.
I was going to say, red beets are real good for your iron count.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay. Well, that's
very high in iron, and they also are high in vitamins.
Aha. Okay, all right. Well, I appreciate...
They're good for you.
Okay, good enough.
And I like them, so...
Yes, okay. Well, thanks a lot. Okay, all right. Red beets. Okay, have you had your red beet today? It's coming up now on 12 o'clock, and we're just about done. We have 5 seconds left in this program. You could jump over... Grand Canyon.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump,
we welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal convention, probably the biggest star-studded convention you've ever seen. We've got huge, huge stars. We've got Gary Busey, LaToya Jackson, Jose Canseco, some of the really, really big names from Celebrity Apprentice and Fantastic. It really, really is.
Now what do we have in store for your big acceptance speech Thursday night?
Well, before I get to that, I have to talk about your terrible, terrible, terrible governor, John Kasich.
Oh, no.
I think what he's doing is terrible. Did I mention it's terrible? Because I think it's terrible. He's not endorsing me, which I think is crazy. He's really not helping at all. He's not showing up. I don't know what this guy's problem is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's got a supercut haircut. He has a terrible suit on. I could really, really help this guy out, but I have to tell you something. I am not going to help him because he's not helping me. And I'm a very nice guy, but he is not being nice to me.
Well, Donald, that was on my list of things to ask you about because he...
Well, I had to get right to it because I just cannot get over that he's doing this. It makes no sense.
Well, he said, and this is his quote, he said, I'm going to get Kasich's quote right here. He says, "Why would I feel compelled to support someone whose positions I kind of fundamentally disagree with?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, but doesn't he know we're in the same party? I mean, Mike Pence and I don't agree on anything, nothing. And he's my VP. And then I was thinking about Chris Christie, who I've mentioned many, many times before. I like Chris. He gets my dry cleaning. He gets, you know, fast food. He just runs all these amazing errands. You know, he'll shut down an entire bridge just to get us some Chinese food. It's really, really incredible. I have to say that. But, you know, I like Chris. You know, and he's like most Americans. He's like most Americans. Type A personality, type 2 diabetes. But the issue that I saw with Chris was, and, you know, we've already had problems with the Trump-Pence logo. I think you know about this. But I was afraid with Chris they were going to make jokes. And I don't like to be made fun of. And they were going to say Trump and plump. And I didn't want that for Chris. You know what I mean?
What about 100,000 protesters in Cleveland this week? Does that give you pause?
I think that's fantastic. I mean, nobody has more protesters than me. And wait till the riots. You're going to see fantastic riots in Cleveland. These are going to be the best riots you've ever seen. I inspire amazing riots. And these are going to be top-notch riots.
Well, I tell you what, Donald, I know it's such a busy time for you. I can't thank you enough. I know you dislike the media, but I always thank you for stopping by.
Well, you know, Scott, you've always been very, very nice to me. You don't hit me with any of those hardball questions, which I think is great. I really appreciate that.
WWGH Radio, your place for politics. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.